Thanks for joining us this week on the Tech of Sports, and joined by someone in the sports digital space. We're going to be talking with Matt Lawler. He's the Director of Digital Media for Global Partnerships, a division of AEG, and he's seen it all when it comes to overseeing worldwide sponsorship sales, activations for over 135 world-class platforms, and other assets for venues, franchises, events, tours, festivals, and digital content for other AEG holdings. So great to have Matt here, taking a break from his holiday, the holiday week. And Matt, thanks for coming on.
No, thanks, Rick. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. You'll be heading to CES in a week or so, as I will be. And what are you kind of concentrating on or focused on for digital sports at CES this year?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm on a panel where we're talking about the state of sports analytics. And that's the main reason for me going. But you know, we also, just through the day to day of the business, have quite a few partners that'll be out there, as well as some vendors that I would like to be talking to. So my short list of things to do is, one, obviously the panel, but then two, I'm really interested in talking to data providers, data platforms, and cloud-based tech companies, just to get an understanding of some things that I'm interested in the space. And then also, you know, try and get to the floor for a couple hours and just see what people are showing off. Yeah.
Sure. What is kind of, don't give away the whole panel or what you're going to talk about, Matt, what is kind of the state of sports analytics right now besides growing?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a lot that people aren't aware of with where sports analytics is at right now. A lot of the talk is about, you know, the money ball type tactics and sort of the way that data is changing sports. All of the leagues have been affected by it. If you look at how the three-pointers change the NBA or how the A's change baseball, well, that stuff's kind of on the surface. But I think what's happening behind the scenes is there's just a ton of data being processed at a rate that no major sports league has ever seen before. And so there's a lot of needs that everyone has, from a team to a league to a partner basis, trying to think about how they get the most intelligence out of the data, because, you know, data is no good unless it's actionable. So there's a lot of companies out there trying to help teams make sense of the data, trying to help the leagues make sense of the data so they can grow the sport, grow the fan base on a team-by-team or venue-by-venue basis. And then also grow revenue for advertising partners.
Yeah, we're with Matt Lawler, Director of Digital Media for AEG Global Partnerships. And Matt is, for a while there, I thought maybe the fan was kind of getting left out of the mix, but not really anymore. The teams, the leagues, the powers that be are learning more about the fan behavior when it comes to watching sports than ever before. Is that all good, or is there a danger of kind of what has made sports so popular for centuries maybe getting overlooked a little bit?
Yeah, look, I think there's always a push and a pull when it comes to, you know, what the fan need is versus what the business need is, right? It's with any business. You know, the business goal is to make money, but also we have to make sure that we're taking care of fans. And so I think there's a lot of things happening that are really benefiting the fans that fans aren't aware of. We put in real-time analytics platforms at Staples Center in Los Angeles just so we could understand how people are moving through the building better to make better decisions just for the fan experience. Phase one of the tech rollout is all focused on the fan, and there's secondary and tertiary phases that are focused on VIPs and then ultimately advertiser partners, but the first phase is really about getting it right for the fan. So I think generally the teams are trying to do everything they can. I think the sports leagues are trying to do everything they can to make the experience better, while we all can acknowledge that the cost of putting on the event, going to the event, is rising. And I think that's just, we're living in a time where things cost a lot more than they ever have. So trying to figure out what that experience looks like. My favorite thing, actually, Rick, you know, I love what teams are doing now to incorporate the in-venue experience or the physical experience as part of the overall game. So, that, you know, I talk about this probably more than I should, but, you know, I tip my hat to the Warriors with what they've done with Hooptopia. They basically created a pop-up museum
yep.
that lives outside of the game, and fans can come to that and feel like they were there present. They've also done fan-friendly pricing, and they have, you know, infinite bars where you don't have a ticket inside of the game to see it on the court, but you can be at a bar attached to the stadium watching the game. I think things like that are not lost on fans, and I think it's important for everyone to think about how we continue to expand the experience for every fan.
Yep, I'm in Atlanta, and it's been kind of promoted here or written about here that the Falcons at in Atlanta United Soccer at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium have kept a lot of concession prices, $1, $2, and $3, and that's the fans here have loved that, and that's surprising to a lot of people, but it's a way I think they say they're actually making more revenue because they've reduced the concession prices. So so who knows, but lots of things going on. I wanted to touch on the NBA viewership, down 25% so far this season. Live sports attendance a couple years ago was down 5% across the board, but NFL football has rebounded and back up. What do you make of that, Matt?
You know, that's a great question, and I'd be remiss if I tried to leave politics out of it, but I do think that we're living in a pretty unprecedented time in our country, just general society, in terms of how we engage with one another, and so there's a lot of opinions being made about a lot of different things, and I think that you know, as sports affect society at large, people tend to tune in further to sports. When you have a great American dominating the global stage, America will rally behind that person. When you have a sport that is polarizing opinions or seemingly shifting opinions, people will tune in or tune out of that sport accordingly. So I think, you know, I think some of that is going on. Look, I think the NBA schedule, a lot of the coaches talk about it, it's aggressive. And I love the NBA, so I can't get enough, and I pretty much watched all of those games, I'm sure, so I'm not in that 25% that's not watching. But I think, you know, the NFL has also done some things from a broadcast standpoint to try and get its viewership back. They've been a little less polarizing, I would think, than they have been the last year or two, and I think that's helped. Yeah, it's tough. There's so many things that go into ratings, so I can't put my hat on it. The guys at the league probably know what's going on there.
Yeah, no, maybe we're with Matt Lawler here and Director of Digital Media for AEG. Maybe no one person's more important to their sport, Matt, than Tiger Woods is to golf. His reemergence really gave golf a shot in the arm this year. But in other sports, is there a danger in really marketing one, two, or three big superstars, or is that kind of what people want now?
No, I mean, yeah, I think it's the latter, right? If you look at what just happened in baseball, right, Nike just threw down a ton of money to brand the jerseys, and I think a major reason for that is because of all the personalities now that are starting to come out of baseball. You're starting to get guys more vocal on social media. You're starting to get guys with endorsement deals. You have the personalities in baseball now, maybe more than ever, I think, because they're younger, they grew up with social media, they're a little bit more comfortable branding themselves. This is something that hockey struggles with a little bit because a lot of those guys are team players. They're not necessarily, and they haven't always grown up with the media, so they're not always marketing themselves, but also that's more of a hockey culture thing. You look at esports, right, and these guys have teams, but the emergence of a FaZe Clan, each of those guys has a personality. Each of those gamers has a tag, and they have their own channel and their own communities on their own. I think people want to see individuals like themselves. That's what drives them to tune in. So I think that's a lot of what's happening.
No bigger sport around the world than soccer. And soccer's growing in popularity here in the States, Matt. How close are we, or do you see a day where instead of having what we say we have four major sports, where we have five major sports when, you know, soccer's kind of thought of alongside baseball, football, basketball, and hockey? Are we ever going to get to that?
It's going to be challenging. And I think it's, you know, already we talk about the big four and whoever that fourth one is kind of in the doldrums already, so to add a fifth one is a little challenging. I think the difference in America versus the rest of the world is you have so much attention on baseball, on basketball, and on American football, such that, you know, kids have choices, right, and they can decide what they want to play. Take a Kyler Murray, he can play two, right, and then choose whether he wants to go professional in one or the other, whereas internationally, you know, you can play FIBA, you can play in some of the Asian baseball leagues and be big there, but you won't have the global reach that you do if you play soccer, right, from a European
right.
national country. And then, you know, I think what's interesting is to look at how American athletes do translate internationally. The NBA has done a great job of globalizing their game. I think football, there are tons of personalities that expand the world because the NFL is good about getting the game to other countries. But, you know, to your point, right, I think it's going to be a while. The MLS is great, and I loved watching our LA Galaxy score off against LAFC on ESPN. It was, you know, one of the highest-rated MLS matches of the entire season. I think it was the highest-rated
sure.
for the entire season. So, you know, that kind of rivalry, we need that, and I think if we can attract more talent from international areas and start pulling some of those big names that have global appeal, I think you'll start to see MLS's growth there for sure.
Last thing, Matt, as we're wrapping up with Matt Lawler. Two big pieces of legislation passed in the last couple years. One, states controlling sports gambling in their states now, and the other, NCAA athletes will have the right to keep money from marketing themselves or endorsements themselves. What's the bigger one? I think I know the answer. But how's the general public going to see, the sports fans are going to see changes from these two as they evolve?
First and foremost, pay the players, right? If nobody listening to this takes anything, take nothing away from this other than pay the players. I think it's the most important thing that we can do as a society. It is probably the least fair trade and work agreement that we have out there. I'm trying to think of others, but I think it's one of the most unfair. College players should get paid for as much money as they make in any other amateur sports where they're making money for the larger entities supporting them. That said, gambling is certainly, and betting, sports betting is really something that is delayed here in the States, right? I mean, internationally, everywhere, you can pretty much bet on any sport you want, right? Save for a few countries, but the places where you want to bet, you can bet on pretty much any outcome of any game. And I think that, you know, we're just catching up to what human behavior is. It's good for the game. It gets people more involved in the game, and you're already seeing a lot of people building it into their in-game experience, right? Guess the next play or who's going to have the most points or who's going to be the star of the night. Maybe not for a chance to win money. Even right now, there's a lot of people getting around some of the legislation by offering, you know, tickets to an upcoming game, or a prize pack from a partner, right? So stay at the San Manuel local casino, you know, if you guess correctly. So I think that is all good for fan engagement. The more important thing is you need the athletes happy, because as the athletes go, the game goes. And then also you'll be able to bet those instances too, right? If you can't pay the players, and you can't have college betting. You can't do it in a way that's structured unless you figure out how to pay the players first. So that's, yes, I'm off the soapbox now.
No, you're good. I definitely agree, and we're definitely looking forward to the panel at CES. As we head into 2020, what's one thing my listeners and viewers should look for, you think, that's really going to be hot in 2020?
I think everyone should be on the lookout for the intersection between the physical live experience and the digital experience. We're starting to see the proliferation of data manifest in ways that I don't think anyone's really paying attention to. And as connectivity grows in speed, and as we find better ways and more useful ways to control the data and use the data, you're going to start seeing, you know, things that you don't realize are archaic go away and be replaced with new things. My favorite example of this is the digital shot clock that's on the floor at NBA games, usually during ESPN broadcast, occasionally TNT broadcast. I think it's powered by Second Spectrum, which is a Steve Ballmer-backed company. But they put the shot clock right there on the floor. And so rather than it being in the chyron in the lower right corner, it feels like it's just a part of the atmosphere you're watching, and you can watch the game without having any of the court really obstructed. I think more content like that that's augmented or layered on, leveraging the data, we're going to see our sports experience just get enhanced in ways we can't imagine.
We'll definitely be looking for things like that. Matt, thanks for taking time out of your holiday week for coming on, and definitely looking forward to CES. So thanks for all the information. Thanks for coming on the Tech of Sports.
That was great, Rick. I appreciate it. Have a great one.
Thank you.